Coming to you live from a little grass shack in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, it's the Junior Kekuwema Jr. Show, starring Junior Kekuwema Jr.
Let's go.
Join Junior along with the Wayne Borge Band as he makes any kind from Hawaii. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Junior Kekuwema Jr.
How's it? Welcome to the podcast. I'm Junior Kekuwema Jr. And today's podcast is going to be, we didn't want to because, you know, we don't want to keep talking about this. But I got some DMs about relationships, and yeah, we got to continue this. So today, some misconceptions that are out there, a lot of misconceptions. You are being taught backwards, okay? And I'm talking to you young people, because you older guys, if you guys are still losers, that's on you, okay? You've lived long enough, okay? But you young guys, okay? Unks is here for you. All right, but first, the attitude of gratitude. So we'd like to say thank you to all of our people, especially those of you in the new states that we have. So we have a few new states. We're not going to go over everything, but we'd like to say aloha to you. We acknowledge you on the last podcast. And so, yes, thank you very much for being here. Thank you all for being here. Now, let's dive in. Okay, so our last podcast we did on female nature, all right? So it was actually two podcasts ago. We did female nature, right? And so I got some DMs with, like, a lot of questions. So I got four different questions, okay? And one of those things was addressing one of my comments about how people are teaching you wrong, okay? Because people are learning these things wrong. And when I say things, I mean like the pickup artists and stuff like that, okay? So I'm going to give you guys some stats, okay? First of all, I thought one interesting thing was this guy, okay? Now, I'm not going to name his name or anything. No hatred, no hating on the guy or anything. I don't know where UC Berkeley, okay? So this guy is a professor of physics at UC Berkeley, okay? That's what he does. He's a professor of physics. So now, I guess if he were talking about physics, he would know what he's talking about, okay? But in this instance, he's talking about a hot chick, and he does not know what he's talking about, okay? All right, so this is a post that I actually saw from this guy, okay? And he goes, what is it like to have a beautiful wife? With a question mark. Okay, now first, let me preface this with the only guys like this, okay, that pull in dimes, okay, or you know, actually by the time he gets them, they're not really dimes. They're like 8.5s. But here's the big fat but. But they've had the work done, okay? In other words, right, when they were 25, 28, right, they had these other guys, which are kind of like him, right, do the new boobies and pay for the new boobies and pay for this, pay for that, whatever. They got married. Then right around 40, right, what happens is she can't stand it anymore, right? She gets a divorce from the guy, right? Then she gets the house, right? So the guy, you know, used to pay for that, whatever. Probably still paying for part of it, right? You know, depending on the laws in the state. But here's the thing, right? So guys like this come along, okay? Now, this guy is older. Just looking at his picture, I can tell you, this guy is in his, like, late 50s, okay? So he probably just hooked up with a 40-year-old, okay? Or a 42-year-old, or, you know, right around that, right? Between 38 and 45, right? Okay, so here's what he says in his post. Now, that's just the preface, okay? Because women will go for bad boys first, okay? Then they will gravitate. I don't know where that came from. All right, so there's your comedy, Owens. There's your comedy. They will gravitate towards the Poindexters of the world, okay? Because these guys are making money. All right, so here you go, right? Because the bad boys, they're still, you know, doing the bad boy stuff, and they're not really getting anywhere. And yeah, so that's who these guys look for. So here's the post. It says, what is it like to have a beautiful wife? Okay, now here's the text. the inside part, right? It said, I am walking down the street and I see a passing stranger look at me, not at her, period. That used to surprise me. Then I figured it out. Okay, you ready, Hoynes? You ready for this? All right. He goes, the stranger, whether man or woman, was looking at me wondering, what did that guy do to deserve her? Question mark. You see? You see? Now, you guys didn't know. You know, okay? You young guys listening to Unks going, hey, well, what's wrong with that? Okay, first of all, the guys are not looking at him. The guys are looking at her. Second of all, the women are not looking at him. They're looking at her, okay? So this guy needs to step out of his ego a little bit. Women are competitive, okay? They are constantly looking at other women that look hot, right? And evaluating, okay? And they do that for several reasons, okay? One of the reasons is, like, how can they improve? Or they get ideas. They get fashion ideas, right? If a woman sees, you know, a group of women, let's say over, you know, she's walking through the mall, right? And the majority of these women have XYZ handbags. She's going to go look for an XYZ handbag, okay? And I'm not saying this is all women. I'm saying these are the materialistas. Okay, now, if you want to get a little bit deeper into this, I can tell you that there's three archetypes of women. And you have to know which archetype you're dealing with. You have to know what kind of woman you're dealing with. So there's a couple of, you know, parameters that you need to keep in mind. Okay, so first of all, is she a materialista? Is she a good girl? Or is she an adventuresque? Okay, adventuresques, you know, the kind of girls, like, they're gone. They want to go on safari in Africa. They want to go hiking up the, I don't know, the Great Wall of China, whatever. Okay, those girls. Okay, and if you're the kind of guy, okay, that values relationships, I don't know too many of those guys. I mean, but then again, you know, the guys I know, small kind of different. Okay, but if you're that kind of guy, then you don't want that kind of girl because she'll be gone. And you'll be at home or in your state, right? Wondering, like, what is she doing? Where is she? Who is she with? Like, and trust me, she will be taking care of her needs. Anyway, so now that those are three. Okay, the other things to keep in. So under that category, you got to figure out, is she high sex drive or low sex drive? Then you got to figure out, is she high self esteem or low self esteem? Okay. And you got to put all of this together, Hawaiians, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because the last thing you want to do, right, is get stuck with a high self-esteem, low sex drive woman, okay? Think about it. High self-esteem, right? And you know what guys do, right? What guys are taught by the pickup artists in the world, right, to break women down. You know, I got to tell you, Hawaiians, I have never had to break a woman down, ever. Never, not one time. The only thing that you could consider, breaking down or whatever, is that when they say something that I don't agree with, I voice my opinion, and I object. Okay, now here's what nice guys do, right? They seek approval. Okay, so I do have a nice guy thing that I wrote. Just a list of things. Because, you know, there's so many guys that are pretending that they're nice. So a friend of mine wrote me an email, right? And he wants me to introduce him to, you know, whatever. But he's older than me. And I don't know girls older than me. So, I mean, on my Facebook, sometimes, you know, they'll pop in, whatever. But here's the thing about nice guys. I just wanted to go over a few things, okay? So the nice guys, okay, they want something, but they'll hide it. In other words, right, they want something from you, but they're not going to tell you what it is. Okay, I'm very open. You know, if I go out with a girl, I'll tell her right off what I want. And if she doesn't want, that's her choice, right? But I tell you what, you got to be honest with girls because girls can handle the truth. They just cannot handle BS, okay? And we try to keep the show clean. They can't handle BS. So they can't handle if you're lying to them. And trust me, they know, okay? They will figure you out like in 10 to 15 minutes. And that's being generous. They can figure you out in less time than that. And they know if you're beating around the bush because they will test you, okay? So, yeah, they have another word for it, but it's called crap tests, right? They have another word. We're not going to do that. We get kids listening. But here's the thing. When they test you, you have to know it's a test, okay? You have to know when a girl is testing you. If you don't know when a girl's testing you, you're going to fall into these traps. And what it's going to do on the subconscious level with a woman is you're just going to kick down one more notch. And these notches are attraction notches, okay? And pretty soon, she's not feeling it anymore, and she's gone, okay? Nice guys put their interest after everybody else's interest, okay? So because they're trying to be nice. They're trying to, right? They're trying to, like, you know, they're trying to portray nice. Oh, I'm a good person. They're trying to demonstrate. I'm a good person. I'm a good guy. Whatever. Okay? If you're doing that, especially with women, stop it. Knock it off. That's not the thing to do. Okay, so nice guys, they do favors for girls. They spend money to do their favors, right? They pay for everything. They pay for the... You know, when I go on a first date, right? Not the date, like when I say, let's go out to dinner. But when I go to the first meeting, when I go to meet somebody, okay, I make her pay for her half, right? Okay. And I mean, not always. If I kind of feel like, okay, she's worth it, I'll pay for her stuff. Okay, but I normally don't. Okay, now if I'm interested in a girl, especially if I'm interested in a girl, I'll make her pay half. If I'm not that interested in a girl, I'll pay for it and I'll sit there and I'll focus, on the drink or whatever. Right now, nice guys go out of their way. Right, you know that thing, like, I don't know, when I was a kid, we used to see this thing on TV where the guy would throw the coat over the mud puddle, the overcoat over the mud puddle, so the girl could walk over the coat, kind of thing. Okay, don't do that. Get that out of your head. You gotta get that out of your thinking, that concept. Okay, because what you're doing is subconsciously, like I said, down. Okay, and this is why nice guys are insecure. Okay, this insecurity comes from the fact that they're lying. They're not being honest. They're not being honest with themselves, and they're not being honest with the girl. And like I said, women can handle the truth. Okay, so they also try to be the clown at the date. They try to laugh and carry on and be silly and try to make her laugh like that. She just looks at you like an amusement toy. That's it. It's like, oh, there's my monkey. That's my monkey for the next 2 hours or whatever. Okay. So stop doing that. Okay. You have to maintain your frame as a man. And if you don't have, one of those, you need to take, you need to take lessons. Okay. And if you need help with this, we have a program called Modern Male. And it's here for you, lifecoaching.com. And it's called Modern Male's Advice, okay? It's modern because it's advice. It's like, okay, if you want to do this, fine. If you don't want to do this. So I got this guy, right? Really, really good person, okay? That was being walked all over, okay? And he signed up for my program. And he signed up for my program. And in like 6 months, I just completely turned his whole perspective around. Okay. And now, like, he's honest with women. Now he's upfront and open. It's like, yeah, okay, well, if you're down, then I'm down. And if you're not down, then yeah, nice knowing you. Take care. that kind of thing. Okay. Cause you gotta know this. Okay. Women are down. Okay. They just cannot let you know that they're down. Okay. But they're down. If a woman goes out of her way to even see you on the first, I don't know what it is, whatever it is, Starbucks date or whatever date or what. If she goes that far, okay, you already have a chance. Okay, you already get a chance, Hawaiians. Okay, if not, she won't go. She will not go. Trust me. Or she will bring her army okay, like three other girls. And in that case, you get up and you walk out, okay? But anyway, that's a few things that, you know, that I came across that I said, well, you know what? This is a good example of the kind of false information you're getting. All right, so here's some, so just to be fair, right? We're going to be fair, and we're going to go over some BS knowledge that that women should know about men, okay? All right, so then, and then I'm getting this from posts, okay? And this is, I'm not going to name the publication, but it's online, and a lot of people go here, and a lot of people read this stuff, and a lot of people take this for, like, truth, okay? All right, so let's read a few for the girls. The guy who likes you when you don't look the best will keep liking you when makeup stops working on your face. Okay. All right. True or false? Okay. True. That is true. All right. Second one. True or false? When a guy looks at your, you know, top half, right, while talking, he isn't staring at them. He is just a little shy, so his eyes are down. Right? Okay. No, I had to, because this is so funny. Okay, true or false? Okay, false. That's not true. Okay? He's looking at, you know, he's looking at your boobies because he likes your boobies. Okay? And we're all attracted to that, right? Because that's the first thing we get when we come into the world. All right. Maybe not the first. But I'm trying to keep this thing clean, okay? For the kids, there are minors listening to this podcast. All right. So here's another thing. If you're that shy, or let's say insecure, that you can't make eye contact, you have a problem. Okay. So just, yeah. hereforyoulifecoaching.com. Hit me up. I can help you with that. All right. So the guy who can't take no for sex or foreplay or kiss or anything related doesn't see you with him in the bigger picture of life. True or false? Okay. Well, on this one, yeah, there are some guys like that. So I'm not saying it's a black and white thing. I'm not saying, you know, whatever. But I'm saying that, yeah, a lot of this stuff is like fairy tales. Okay. So the guy who can't take no, doesn't see you with him in the big picture. That's kind of a toss up, because I know guys like that. So the guy who can't, you know, let's put it this way. Whenever you hear the word no, no should mean no, and you should get up and walk out, period. Okay. Because sometimes no means yes. Okay. And you don't want to test that, because there's other indicators that you need to be aware of before you even hang out after a no. Okay, so if you hear no, just stand up, you know, whatever, grab your things and walk out the door. All right, now if she pursues you, then you know that, you know, she was testing you, okay? It was just a test, and that happens. All right, so should we even continue on this? All right, you know, all right, so here, this is another one. However rich a man you get, you can never earn that high self-respect which you get by being independent. Now, this is to women. They're telling women this, right? That's not true. That's not true at all. Okay, you can get respect. Sure, you can get respect from a rich guy, a poor guy, and guys in between. It depends on the guy. Okay, all right, that's enough. There's so much. There's here. Check out this one. A guy who looks average may turn out to be an excellent friend or life partner and make your life a cakewalk. Spend some time before you judge. Ladies don't do that. They do not evaluate you like that. All right. So what I'm trying to show you, or demonstrate here anyway, because you can't see it, it's a podcast, it's not a visual podcast, but what I'm trying to get across is that there's so much misinformation out there, okay? Here's some real stats for you, okay? Do you have a girl that's in college, a young girl that's in college, a daughter, like, you know, 22, 19, 20, 21, those ages. Okay, so I got some stats, and these are sex events involving any alcohol, okay? All right, so some of you will be surprised at this. All right, established romantic encounters, okay? So, like, you already, you know, going with each other, whatever. 5% involves alcohol, okay? A new romantic arrangement, 15% involves alcohol, okay? Ex-boyfriend, 30% involves alcohol. What does that mean? Well, I call that the hanho. The hanho is that, so hanho in Hawaiian means one more time, okay? One more time. So you know when you break up with this guy, right? And then, so there's another dynamic behind this, but when you break up with somebody, you know, and then pretty soon, like, you see them that one last time, okay, 30% of that involves alcohol, okay? And, yeah, but there's another thing. So women will always come back into your life for closure. It doesn't matter if she broke up with you or you broke up with her. It doesn't matter. At some point, there is a possibility of a hanaho where she will come back into your life just that one time. And it doesn't have to involve sex, or it's just closure for her. You know, and she'll come back and she'll talk story or whatever. Or sometimes, you know, you guys will go all the way kind of thing. But it's for closure, okay? It's not because of you. So, gentlemen, you can take your ego and you know, put it in the back a little bit, you know. It's not because of you. It's because of her. All right. So in a friendly situation, okay, in a friendly situation where you have a sexual encounter, 52% is alcohol. Now, the percentage is going up, okay? Acquaintance, okay? So if you're an acquaintance with a woman, okay? And this is college statistics. This is in college, okay? This is not in general. All right, 76%, okay? So 76% of young women in college, or young people, this is not just women, this is people. 76% of people in college, right, have, you know, sexual encounters with acquaintances involving alcohol, okay? Think about that one. All right, now, the highest one, okay, and you may want to think about this if you have a daughter in college, or if you are a young woman in college, 89% of sexual activity involving alcohol happens with strangers. There you go. Okay. Now, do you think this? So let me ask you a question at this point, Owens. Let me ask you this. Okay. Do you think the strangers are men? Like 89% of men get in these, you know, because of alcohol, get to hook up. You see? Okay. I don't think so. I think it's the other way around, okay? So, it's definitely the other way around. These are not guys getting drunk and then, you know, having the opportunity. It's the other way around where women are, allowing the opportunity, okay? So men pursue, women choose. Women choose all day long. When a man chooses, there's a different word for it. It's illegal. And he goes to jail for it, okay? So, but anyway, all right. So back to the Law of Attraction podcast. All right, that's a little stats, you know, because every time I get these comments, right, and I have to explain, you know, I have to explain, and it takes me a long time to write it out in the DMs and stuff, so it's easier if you listen to the podcast, and it's easier if I just describe it for you, okay? So there you go. There's your descriptions. But yeah, you're being told a lot of this stuff wrong and backwards, okay? So, you know, do women initiate activity like that, extracurricular activity, let's say? Yeah, they do. But they do it different. They're not like us. They don't do it like us. They'll give you green lights. And if you don't act on the green light, it's done. She'll close. It's like, imagine a curtain, right? You know, like at a stage play, the curtain goes up. Imagine that curtain going up, and that curtain, that raised curtain, okay, is your cue to, like, okay, go, boy, right? Okay? And you know, like when you walk into a Starbucks and she makes eye contact with you across the room and you kind of notice her and then you don't do anything? Okay, you got like 3 to 4 seconds to walk over to her, okay, after she makes eye contact with you. Because if she wasn't interested, if there was nothing about you that was interesting or, you know, intriguing or whatever you want to say, appealing, okay, she would never make eye contact with you. So once she makes eye contact with you, you just have a few seconds to start walking her way, her direction. And then just smile and say hi, you know, say, hey, what's up? Do you like the coffee here? You know, what brings you here today? Whatever. Create some small talk, okay? And give her your card. Give her your email. Something non-threatening. Don't just go over there and ask her for a number. Although sometimes you can do that, okay? I prefer email because it's more, you know, undercover. And the more undercover things you do, by the way, the more the female appreciates that because she's undercover. Okay, and the more you learn how to subcommunicate, because the more you subcommunicate, the better it is for you. She'll put more value on you because now you're speaking her language. There you go. All right. So now, the law of attraction, right? This is a law of attraction podcast, and I do help a lot of people with relationships. So you know, we got to do stuff like that every once in a while. But what I really wanted to talk about, right? And we mentioned this a little bit on every show. It's how your voice can heal, okay? And what happens when you start to settle inside, okay? Well, here's the thing, right? On the other podcast, we were talking about how you get settled inside and then how everything naturally flows because you attract who you are, okay? You don't necessarily attract everything that you want, okay? Although I can tell you from experience, I have always been successful attracting what I want. I've always been successful in that. And it's only because I apply the four pillars to it. Okay, so the four pillars are affirmations, meditation, visualization, and vocalization. Now, the vocalization side is really kind of life-changing, I want to say. It involves pushing out these straight tones, or what we call, there's two types, okay? There's high-velocity tones, and then there's Zephyrus tones. Zephyrus tones are very mellow, very gentle tones. And the other side is very strong. Now, you have to do both, okay? And we do this in a series or in a way that promotes calmness in an individual. And I got to tell you, this works, okay? I got to tell you, it works quickly. So we don't make any medical claims, okay? But this morning when I posted to LinkedIn, I shared a 5-star review. We don't get anything less than a 5-star review. But I shared a 5-star review that we got from this lady who brought her son who had autism. Now, he had autism and he was very sensitive to sound. He was very sensitive to the tiniest little sound and he would get jumpy, okay? And I just want to tell you his story, okay? I'm not going to tell you his name or anything. It's all, you know, confidential. But I want to tell you his story. So when he first came to us, you know, he was kind of like, you know, like when you have an animal like a dog or cat and they've been abused and they kind of like, they get jumpy. Okay, so he was jumpy like that, but he was jumpy like that because of autism. And I've seen so many children with autism over the years, and they all leave very confident, very settled, very composed, you know, that kind of thing. And so I worked with this boy for a while, and I think I worked with him for about 6 or 7 months, and he had a play coming up that he wanted to be a part of. And what actually happened, which was the coolest thing, was that he ended up playing like the lead in the play. They gave him the lead. And I was like, what? I was like, that's outstanding, right? So these little things that happen in my life, right? Because I subscribe to the spiritual side more than the physical side. Okay, so I acknowledge like what's in here. And I'm pointing to my eyes, right? What's in here? Energy, if you want to call it a spirit, you want to call it soul. Okay, it's all of that, right? But there's one in everybody, okay? And Everyone, okay, has the divine presence within them. Okay, I'll tell you that much. If you're just walking around thinking like you're this, I don't know, meat suit walking around, I can't think of a better way to put it, so that I just put it that way. But if you're one of those people, then you gotta know that you gotta dig deeper, and you have to feel deeper, and you have to have a deeper understanding, because these things are real. You know, I meet people, they go, oh, I don't believe in ghosts, I don't believe in spirits, I don't believe in, you know, whatever. And I'm like, but everything is energy. Okay, now Einstein told us you can't extinguish energy. Okay, so energy can just be transferred. It cannot be extinguished. You can't get rid of it. It just changes form. Okay, so anyway, so we took this energy in this boy and completely settled that energy, whatever you want to call that, okay? And he started to settle. And when he started to settle, his mom goes, well, see, the mom, he would take medication. But his mom started withholding the medication because it was his training day, right? And the funny thing was, he took medication to help him concentrate, right? But his voice exercises, the things that we gave him to do, right, started like making him settle on his own. And so she started like not giving him medicine when he was coming, right? And it was amazing. And at the end of the, you know, I remember a few times at the end of session, I asked her, did he take his medicine? And she goes, no, we don't have him take his medicine when he comes. And I'm like, wow. And then it came, you know, to the point where he didn't need his medicine as much. And now I'm not making a medical claim, okay? I'm not making any claim. I'm just telling you what happened, okay? But that's what happened to him. And we thought that was amazing. But the most amazing part was that he got chosen for the lead in the play. And our one of our Facebook pages has him on there. But anyway, and then there was this girl. Okay, I'm going to tell you this other story, because you guys need to know that your voice can heal you, or how your voice heals, okay? And you can think energy, frequency, vibration, and velocity. Those components right there, okay? So everyone has a frequency, but you can change a human frequency, okay? And you can tune a human being like you tune a guitar, ukulele, like you tune a musical instrument, a violin, all of that. Everything is frequency, and each frequency has a signature. Okay, it has a mathematical signature. Okay, so there is an orchestrator, there is a conductor. Okay, if you want to call it that way. So I just say God is real. God is real. Okay, but you know, whatever you want to call that has assigned all these numbers to everything. Everything is mathematical. Everything has a frequency. Okay, so every sound has a frequency. All right, so. It's amazing. Every note, I should say. So anyway, so this girl, right, comes to me when she's like 11 and very, very talented. I'm not going to tell you her name or anything, but she's very, very talented, right? And she was very bright and alert and, you know, all of that. Now she gets to be a teenager. So she comes to me, I think, for a year. I didn't see her since she was 12, right? And so I'm, you know, going about my life. And one day, you know, I'm in this restaurant that I used to, they used to be our clients for my consulting company. And so anyway, I'm in this restaurant and I see this lady, that girl's mom. And she goes, oh, Junior, can you please help my daughter? Right. She said her name, but I'm not going to. And I said, yeah, sure. Well, what's going on? Well, it turns out that when she turned 13, as a teenager, she started running with the wrong crowd. And she started running with the wrong crowd, and it started making her more susceptible, because they had, you know, they had disposable income, right? So these kids are, you know, well-to-do kids, okay? So they have disposable income, and that got her, you know, involved in things like ecstasy, other little things, you know, of course, like, you know, weed and stuff like that. But they were experimenting. These kids were experimenting. Well, it was a bad experience for her. And she started coming down with these bouts of depression. She started getting depressed. So she was taking these medicines, right? Anti-depression medicines. And so anyway, I said, sure, I'll be glad to see her, you know, bring her by. So her mom brought her by. And we spent about, I want to say about 8 or 9 months together working on her. We're just working on her, right? Just and so the way we did it was the same way we do for everybody, okay? So we had her do the high velocity tones. We had her do the Zephyrus tones. We had her do the breathing exercises. We had her do all of this stuff. And in between, of course, I'm, you know, explaining things out to her. You know, I'm explaining or, you know, because here's the thing, right, Hawaii? If you don't paint the proper picture in someone's mind of either why we're doing this or how to look at this because this will help you, or, you know, look at it this way. It's a little out of the box, but look at it this way. And they, you know, I can't even tell you how many times people tell me, like, whoa, uncle, I never thought of it that way. And I'm like, well, of course you never thought of it that way, because this is very different. This is very, very different. Okay, but human beings are born with infinite knowledge. You got to know that. You, listening to the podcast right now, yeah, you are born with infinite knowledge. Okay, education is a different thing. Okay, because everything is intelligent. Everything that comes into the universe is intelligent. The blades of grass outside know to look for the sun. Okay, plants, you remember, I don't know, hearing this years and years ago, they used to say, talk to your plants. Your plants understand. Talk to your plants and encourage them to grow, and they'll be healthier. Okay, it actually works, you know, and there's science behind this. There's science behind it, right? When I first heard that, I go, what? Like, talk to your plants. I remember hearing it when I was in high school. When I was in high school, they said, what? You can talk to your plants and you get better plants? You know, of course, well, you know, we tried it because we were growing the kind of plants that you didn't really want to get caught with. So we tried. We were, you know, hi, little plant, how you doing? I mean, you know, and, you know, after a couple of times we gave up, we don't notice any difference. This doesn't work, you know, that kind of thing. But there is science behind it. Okay. And later on, when I got older, I go, oh, okay, well, it is true. There is science behind this. Talking to your plants, they do pick up your vibration. Okay, here's another thing, random thing about plants. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. Did you know that some plants, some edible plants, okay, so plants that give edible fruit or edible, you know, whatever it is, turn poisonous when they're threatened with extinction? Yeah, so some plants turn poisonous for a few years. And when I say a few, it's probably more than a few, because they need time to replenish the species. So the species itself will turn poisonous, that variety, whatever variety it is. And it'll turn poisonous until you have a larger population of that plant. And then it'll turn back edible again. Did you know that? Yeah, go look them up, boys. You know, I know. It's like, oh, Unks, you're making our head sore, like our brain is sore thinking about all this stuff. But it's true. That happens. Okay. So everything is intelligent. That's what I'm trying to illustrate here. Everything is intelligent in the universe. Okay. God created everything, and everything is intelligent. Okay. Even the rocks. You know the rocks. Yeah. You know the water. Okay. When you look at water, you just see H2O, right? Water. Okay, water is intelligent. And if you guys, you know, don't really understand what I'm saying, water has memory. Okay, there is experiments done in Japan by Dr. Masaru Emoto that showed that water has memory. Okay, now think about this. If water has memory and you can actually affect the water. So he proved this. He proved two things. He proved that if you could speak, when you speak kind words to your water, the chemistry changes in the water. Okay, so they saw chemistry differences in the water. When you spoke, you know, harsh words, negative words, unkind words, okay, the chemistry would change in the water. Now, having that knowledge, he tried it with rice. So they put rice in a bowl, right? They put like two different bowls. And for one bowl of rice, you know, small little bowl. And one bowl of rice, they would speak kind, loving words, okay, and gratitude. And then on the other, to the other one, they would tell the rice how stupid it is. they would tell, you know, say all these negative, you know, bad things to the rice. That rice spoiled. It just started to turn black, while the other rice was just a little brownish. It was just, you know, it got old. Everything ages, right? I mean, that's the way it is. But the rice that they talked negative to or talked bad to or said hateful things to just turned black and much, much faster than its counterpart, than the other bowl. So then we know that, okay, so if this does this to rice, what is this doing to human beings? What is this doing to you, you know, when you're with your friends and you guys are just playing around, but you're making jokes on how stupid each other is or how, you know, whatever, right? Okay. And what I'm saying is not that you're going to turn, you know, spoiled like the rice. It's not that. What I'm saying is it does a little damage to you subconsciously. Okay, so when you're with your friends and stuff, you know, what do we call it? When we, you know, we call it kidding around, right? Or, you know, whatever. Everybody has a different expression for it. Nah, we're just joking, you know, but no, you're putting each other down all the time. See, I don't, you know, I have friends that tease me and I tease them, right? But what I'm saying is when that gets carried away or like too much of that, that's no good. And it's no good for your subconscious. Because why? When somebody says something, you keep it in the back of your head and you go home wondering like, yeah, you know, maybe I am stupid. Yeah, maybe I don't know anything. Yeah, maybe, you see what I mean? And that turns into negative self-talk and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. All right, now let's go back, okay? So now we go back and we go like at the 9-month mark with this girl, okay? I get the most beautiful text, one of the most beautiful texts that I've gotten in a long, long time. And it was from her mom. And she said, hey, you know, and she mentioned her daughter's name, which I'm not going to mention. But she said, hey, Junior, I just want to thank you so much. Because today, my daughter, I'll just say my daughter in place of her name, my daughter got off her anti-depression meds. And to me, that was like, whoa. To me, that was huge. That was like one of the most beautiful texts that I've ever got. Because, you know, we accomplished something with her, right? Now, I believe that I am just a guide in this process. This is a natural process. This is a process of human expression, okay? This is a process that human beings, that every human being has the power to do. Okay, this is a no-brainer. It's easy. Okay, but here's the thing. How many people will take time to do it? Now, that's the question. So if you're suffering from anxiety, you're suffering from fear, if you're suffering from low self-esteem, if you think you ain't worth jack, right, that kind of thing, if you've gotten that far, then that's pretty far. That I'm here to tell you, Hawaiians, that's pretty far. But if you're walking around feeling worthless, if you're walking around feeling like, you know, empty, if you're walking around with fear and anxiety and angst, you know, when you look at news and stuff and that triggers you, or, you know, you're reading whatever, you got to know that a lot of things are out there to keep you off your life path. Things are purposely out there to trigger you. It's there on purpose. I mean, you know, I even put some of these things up on my my Facebook stories and my Instagram stories, right, to illustrate these things, to show people like, hey, look, you see what they're doing? You know, and I expose it for what it is, you know, because, you know, and I tell people all the time, don't buy into all this stuff. Okay, and we're in an election year right now. On top of everything, we're in an election year and you're going to get fear-mongering from both sides. Because what do? They fear you into your decision, okay? They will fear you all the way, as much as they can, and they'll go, hey, okay, here's a solution. This guy right here, vote for this guy right here, because this will take away, you know, whatever, all of that. This will protect you from that. And I'm like, no, actually, from the time I started voting in 1980, homies. And you know what? From 1980 till now, okay, I gotta say that the past 3.5 years have been the most where it's, things have changed, okay? And I think that the pandemic started most of that, okay? But before that, everything just went a little bit right, a little bit left. The next guy gets in, little to the right, little back, little to the left. So nothing really changes that dramatically, okay? However, in this day and age, I wouldn't bet on that, okay? I think things are changing to a little bit greater degree, okay? But here's the thing, right? If you're going to buy into the fear, if you're going to buy into all of that and just get triggered by everything that, you know, that you see and you easily get triggered, that's a sign that you need to do something about it. And if you need to do something about it, I can help you. You can write to my email, junior@hereforyoulifecoaching.com, or go to the website. It's www.hereforyoulifecoaching.com. And just sign up for the Zoom. We have a free Zoom consultation, and the consultation is just to see if you're the right fit for our program. And I gotta tell you that, you know, we have a lot of people signing up from TikTok, and those are all international people. I met with a lady from Nigeria the other day, and she didn't have the kind of money that it takes to hire me, right? So I gave her this whole bunch of information. I gave her a bunch of videos. I gave her a bunch of links, things that can help her. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world. It doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter. If you send me an email and just let me know what's going on, I can refer you to places that can help. Number one, if you don't have the money. If you have the money, sure, you can always be my client. And I can work with you and get you to where you need to be very quickly, okay? Just go look at our reviews. It's Here For You Life Coaching on Google. Here For You Life Coaching Honolulu, Hawaii. That's where I am. I'm in Honolulu, Hawaii. So you guys can check it out. Most of my listeners are outside of Hawaii. And but we're having, you know, we're having a pretty decent following in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And that following is coming largely from Instagram, Facebook, and iHeartMedia. So my iHeartMedia following is kind of like, it's getting crazy. It's actually working. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that iHeartMedia worked that well for podcasts, you know, because normally it's a place you go to listen to radio. But my podcast is on there and people are discovering my podcast. So if that's you, thank you very much. Mahalo. Thank you. And so, you know, we just want to let you know these things. These are some things that you should be aware of. And, you know, like I said, that the biggest one is that your voice can heal you. Because, you know, if you've tried tapping, if you, you know, all these spiritual modalities, right? Meditation is part of it. Affirmations is part of it. Visualization is part of it. So there are four pillars: affirmations, meditation, visualization, and vocalization. Okay, so these four pillars are very, very important. But when you get down to the vocalization part, okay, that's what we use to settle people. That's what we use to change lives. And the rest, I mean, the rest will change your life as well. Because you have to understand that the art of manifestation, or let's say deliberate manifestation, because you're going to manifest anyway. Whether you like it or not, or whether you're aware of it or not, or, you know, it doesn't matter, because your actions create consequences. So whatever you do is going to result in the next thing. Okay, so you create an action, whatever action that is, you're going to get the opposite reaction. Okay, or let's just say reaction, so you don't need to think too hard. But yeah, you're going to get a reaction. And that reaction is going to end up in a result. Okay, so having, you know, reprogramming your subconscious, I should say, or having that ability to control your manifestation is what you want to do. Because now when, you know, and I can't tell you enough how many people's lives have changed just by doing this, right? So affirmations, you got to write it out. Okay. Meditation, you got to sit still for at least 10 minutes a day. 10 to 15 minutes a day. You don't need to get crazy. You don't need to do 45 minutes to an hour. You know, some people try to impress me. They go, well, I do 3 hours a day. I'm like, well, hey, you don't need 3 hours a day. Okay, so human beings don't work like that. You can, and it is still beneficial, but it's not like more beneficial. You see what I'm saying? You can only go so far in one meditation. Okay, and enlightenment, just for those of you that don't know, enlightenment, there's no such thing as being alive on earth and enlightened. Okay, there's no such thing. The last person that was like that was Jesus Christ. And before him, it was Krishna and Gautama Buddha. I mean, these individuals, yeah, but there's no such thing as you achieving enlightenment through meditation. Okay, not even the yogis in India are like that. And the yogis themselves will tell you. Okay, so that's not what it's about. It's about clearing your mind to a certain point where there's no clutter. It's slowing down the frontal lobe of your brain. Okay, that's what it's all about. And when that happens, when you slow down the frontal lobe of your brain, where all the thoughts come, right? Now it's easier to carve out a deliberate path. That's what it's about. Okay, because now there's clarity. And now when you start to, you know, manifest or work towards your manifestations, you can control it better. Because now you're not distracted by all these negative thoughts. You're not distracted by, you know, okay, let's go over here. No, maybe I should go over there. No, maybe I should go over there. You see what I mean? Indecision can really, like, I want to say curtail your progress. But when you can do these things deliberately, that's when you know you really have something going on. You know, because that's exactly what you need to do. You need to control it, okay? So manifestation is controlled by your subconscious mind working with the superconscious, and we call the superconscious God, okay? Because if there's one thing, Owens, that I really... Oh, sorry, Owens, I gotta go. I want to say mahalo to Brother Randy over there at Island Club and Spa, our sponsors. Also, everybody at the Voice Master family of service companies and Darren Tinen's music at AFMHawaiiMusic.com. But yeah, Hawaii, you got to check it out. Okay? Just shoot me an email, junior@hearforyoulifecoaching.com, and I will issue you a reply. Yeah. Till next time, I'm Junior Kekoweba Jr. saying mahalo and aloha.